subject of international focus in the UN Council with that emergency meeting this morning at 10 o'clock Eastern. North Korea yesterday fired 6 missiles. Today it fired yet another. Yesterday, one of the missiles was believed to be a controversial long-range intercontinental missile believed to be capable of hitting parts of the United States. Joining me now to talk about the significance of these tests is Charles Burton, who served as a Canadian diplomat to China and was in charge of analyzing North Korean affairs. He is now professor of comparative politics at Brock University. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
How was it yesterday for you hearing story after story about missiles being fired from North Korea?
Well, I was surprised. I didn't think they'd actually set them off, because obviously this will lead to a lot of negative response around the world and a great deal of concern, particularly in the countries surrounding North Korea, South Korea, and Japan, and China.
Any significance about it being July 4th yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think that was a coincidence. I think the North Koreans want to send out a signal to the United States that, you know, pay attention to us. We have offensive military capability. Mr. Bush had just met with the Japanese head, and everyone was celebrating July the 4th. So I think that certainly was part of it. It's, you know, a lot of it is theater. Unfortunately, it's very dangerous theater, and it turns out that the missile test of the long-range one, which could potentially hit North America, the Taipei-Dong 2, failed after a few seconds, and everything just fell safely into the Japan Sea. But, you know, these things are something that you cannot but take seriously, particularly because the regime seems to be delusional and developing more and more offensive military capability as the years go on.
I don't get it. You mean if that Taipodong, the controversial intercontinental missile, had it not failed 40 seconds after takeoff, it would have then hit?
Oh, no, I don't think. It was a test.
It was just a test. Yeah, it wouldn't have landed near Alaska or anything like that.
Well, I mean, it might have landed near, but it wouldn't have just killed anybody. Of course, you know, normally when nations test their military weaponry, which is a normal thing to do, if you have military weaponry, you want to test it. If they're sending off missiles like this, they would inform mariners so that boats could be out of the way of potential falling debris, and they would inform the airlines people so that no airplanes would be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and North Korea didn't do that. But anyway, everything just fell out into the sea, and no harm was done to life and limb.
Who in North Korea would have said, ready, aim, fire? Who's there?
Well, I think it's really their military that's in control. Their charismatic leader is a man called Kim Jong-il. But to what extent he fully calls the shots, we just don't know, because the regime is not at all transparent, and who's really in charge is difficult for us to assess. But certainly the military plays a huge role there, and that's a little worrying.
Okay, tell me more about the theatrics, because that word's been used for many a year now when it comes to North Korea.
Well, I think that you know, the regime craves affirmation from the global community, and they would like diplomatic relations from the United States. And I imagine that the leader of North Korea is enough deluded to think that he might be able to develop some sort of collegial friendship with the U.S. president. Not likely to happen, so long as they engage in terrible governance within their country, with massive violation of human rights and also the inability to maintain food security there, so a significant proportion of the population is not getting enough to eat. It doesn't get much worse than having to live in North Korea for people, I think.
I'm just looking at a website for him right now. It says, Kim Jong-il, while he is a dictator with absolute power, there's an extensive personality cult around him. He is praised and honored as a hero, a great statesman, and a peerlessly great man to be doing what he's doing right now.
That sounds like a North Korean site.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
I think that, you know, they do publicize that people all around the world are dedicated to the study of his writings, including groups in Canada, and that, you know, it's a sign that the advanced forces of world revolution are turning more and more to the wisdom of Kim Jong-il and his father, Kim Il-sung. And I dare say that there may be people in Canada and Europe and Africa who do study the the Kim Jong-il canon, but I imagine that they're a very small group.
Here's a picture of him with the U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright clicking glasses of champagne in 2000.
Yes, well, that one is true, and in fact they did. And I think that there was some opportunity lost at that time to try and bring North Korea more into compliance with global norms of nuclear nonproliferation and trade, and unfortunately it was lost. You know, there was some speculation that Mr. Clinton would go to Pyongyang at the end of his presidency, but then due to the crisis in Florida over the vote, he decided to stay in the United States. And then once the new president came in, President Bush, there wasn't much possibility of doing anything in the way of engaging North Korea. And shortly thereafter, Mr. Bush declared that it was part of the axis of evil, and things have been going pretty badly since.
Okay, 10 o'clock this morning, UN Security Council meeting. What do you think they're going to be saying?
Well, you know, there's not a lot that one can do. Certainly sanctions are a possibility, but, you know, North Korea doesn't really have a great deal of significant external trade or external activity, and these sanctions are not likely to be all that successful. I mean, can you sanction North Korea's export of counterfeit U.S. dollars or North Korea's drug trade? You know, they might talk about the possibility of military action, you know, like bombing the places where North Korea has nuclear facilities with a view to trying to discourage the development of weaponry, but the costs of that in terms of the North Korean response are so huge that they probably can't do very much. So I don't expect these talks to lead to anything substantive. There's a lot of talks. There have been a lot of talks over the past 15 years over this, and mostly they're talks about having more talks or talks about whether we're going to have talks. But in the meantime, the situation in North Korea continues to fester. The situation deteriorates politically and economically, and they develop more and more sophisticated military weaponry. And
so I'm just looking at the list: radiological weapons, nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons.
And they sell them, and probably if the missile launch had been successful, this would have been quite good for their military export business to other states who, you know, that we should also be concerned about. So maybe it's a plus that the test failed, in the sense that it suggests the North Korean product doesn't have high quality, but they certainly got good price, and the North Koreans are willing to sell to pretty much anybody who can pay.
Professor, I've got you for another minute. What can be done? You say not much, but can you...
Well, I think that the United States should diplomatically recognize North Korea and get an embassy in Pyongyang and start to identify agents of change and talk to them seriously and see if we can come up with some way to ease this regime out of the terrible box that they've got themselves into. I mean, clearly, there's not much hope of being able to continue with the regime as it is. And for the good of the North Korean people, I think we have to, you know, bite our tongues and start to engage them in a way to, one hopes, peacefully bring them into the global community.
But be very careful.
Well, as long as they have bombs, one has to be very careful.
Thanks very much.
Nice to talk to you.
You too. Bye-bye. Charles Burton, former Canadian diplomat to China, professor of comparative politics at Brock University, speaking to us this morning from Ottawa, where word came out of North Korea this morning that a seventh test missile had been